Let's go on, still be in the book of Psalms this week. And I'm going to be in several chapters, different chapters. I'm going to probably read one verse or two or three or four, ever what it is. But I think I'm going to just allow the Lord to do what he needs to do this morning. I had something else written down to preach, but he told me not to, so I said, okay, you got to obey the Lord. So, in the chapter, chapter 90. Chapter 90 in the book of Psalms. And this is speaking about the prayer of Moses, the man of God, where Moses was praying for all the men of God back then and at time. But you know, that's one thing I think that we have. I mean, I know I have. I fell short on that. And that may be some of the reasons that some of the churches is turned away from God's word, is because the individuals I hear, the pastors, the preachers, the evangelists, the missionaries, they are jealous. That's the only word I know you can come up with. Jealous. And the reason for the jealousy is because of they think that, well, if I pray for that pastor, if I pray for that particular church and everything, then we are so prone to forget that it's not just my church or just the Faith Baptist Church that I'm supposed to be concerned about. We're supposed to be concerned about the kingdom of God. That's what we're supposed to build up. But we are so jealous and we're so ashamed of what we are doing that we don't want to help nobody else because they will grow. And if they grow, then, you know, and we're not going to grow. Where did church come from? And who did it come from? It didn't come from me. It didn't come from no man. It came from one individual. And that was God Almighty. He ordained the church for us to be able to use it to where we can come in and lead people in the way that they need to go. But here in chapter 90, in the book of Psalms, says, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Chapter 91 in verse 3 says, surely he shall deliver thee from the snares of the followers and from the Nostrum pestilence, and he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wing shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckle. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, not for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasted at noonday. 1,000 shall fall as at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the rewards of the wicked. Thou shalt no evil befall thee. Verse 10. Neither shall any plague come nigh dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in the hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. That right there reminds me of people today. That reminds me of so many churches I hear today. It reminds me of so many people that call themselves a Christian, but don't know what the word means, because they will use the word Christian and religion in the same sentence. Well, you know what the Bible says about religion? Religion is going to send people to hell. Religion will send more people to hell than what the word Christian will send to heaven. Hell is enlarging itself every day. Every day since the beginning. Every day since God threw Lucifer out of heaven. Hell has been enlarged. And why is it enlarged? Who's enlarging it? It's not the devil. The devil's not enlarging hell. The people. The people is enlarging hell. Why? Because they've got their own idea of truth. They got their own idea of following something that will be meaningful to them. And the Holy Spirit, He'll never fail them. The Holy Spirit's never failed no one. The Holy Spirit has done exactly what He's supposed to do. But it's the individual that will not listen to the Holy Spirit. That's including me. I could have got up here this morning and went on and preached the message that I already had. And if I had, do you think the Holy Spirit would have helped me? No, the Holy Spirit wouldn't help me. Why? Because I would not put my trust in Him. Oh, in John chapter 14 and verse 26 says, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, which teaches me all things. And He brings all things back to remembrance. What does he bring back to remembrance? Scripture that I'd read maybe the day before, or maybe last year, or 10 years ago, that I did not even understand it at that time. But he says, the Comforter, and he comforts us every day. I mean, I can lay down and he'll come over there and he'll just comfort me. And I tell you what, I love it when the old Holy Ghost gets a going on in the church. When people start praising God, and when people start lifting up their hand, and when people start saying amen, then the Holy Spirit will get beside himself, and he will come on a scene, and he will start giving people chill bumps. Because I tell you what, so many times I've been up here, and the Holy Ghost has come by me, and he's come by me like a great big windstorm right there, and he will bring a breeze with me and slap me up on this side of the face, go right there, and then turn around and come back, slap me up on this side of the face. And I know it's him. I know it's the Holy Ghost of God. But people today, they don't even know the Holy Ghost. People today don't even know Jesus. They don't know God. The only thing that they know about God is what they have been told about God. But they haven't experienced it themselves. I had somebody one time ask me, say, preacher, how can I get a set of convictions for my own life? I says, what you need to do, you need to go home, you need to take your specific place in your house, or if it's at your house or in the woods or wherever, and you go there and you pray and ask God for him to give you the convictions that he wants for your life. I said, because my convictions won't work for you. And your convictions won't work for me. We have to come up with our own set of convictions that God Almighty would give each one of us. There's many a places in Danville. Because, you know, at one time, Danville used to be called the City of Churches. And even before that, Danville was called the City of Service Stations. I remember that back in the 60s. And then the 70s, it come up the City of Churches, because you had a church on every corner. But back then, when they come up and when they had a church, at least they had a name on there who they was affiliated with. If they was affiliated with God or if they was affiliated with the devil. But today, we have to have our own set of convictions. There's not but one or maybe two restaurants in the city of Danville that I can go to and I don't feel ashamed. One of them's Mayflower, and the other one is Weston Sizzling. And it may be some others that's like them. But these new restaurants that come in, like the down there with the ham, and then like the Applebee's and the lobster and all them, Red Lobster, And all of them restaurants I hear,
they say, well, it ain't gonna bother you if you go in and out. Since they got the bar on the back side. And they got people sitting up at the bar on the back side out of your way. You can't see them. But the thing about it is, what I pay for my meal is gonna go and partially to reserve and what they have just spent and what they've just given away. I've never been in them places. And I will not go into them places.
That's the convictions that God give me. And I told church one night, one Tuesday night, I believe it was, asked me to come and be a part of the revival that week, and I was. I came in Tuesday night. And I preached. And I forgot how long it was, but I mean, the people, they was having church. They wanted to have church. And I kept on. And I says, nah, if you're out here drinking beer and you're out here drinking liquor, you're not an alcoholic. You're not an alcoholic. That's man's definition. That's man's definition of it. But God's definition of it is, if you take a strong drink and put it to your mouth and you swallow it, you are a drunk. Who was a drunk? Back then, back in the country. Hey, they even had some they had some dignity about themselves. And they had some pride also. Even the drunks back then, they had a little pride. Where today, the average churchgoer, and I'm not saying all of them, I said the average churchgoer don't have the pride. They don't care anything about what God thinks. They really don't know. But they better wake up and they better repent of what they've done. Because God, He is the only one can help them. No, but they want to go over there and they want to sit in a bunch of room with a bunch of other drunks in there and everything where they could just talk about the feelings and why they drink. That's sad. That's sad that you've got to go somewhere else and you have got to listen to somebody tell you your problems. And they say, I don't know what my problem is. If you don't know what your problem is, something's wrong with you. But here in chapter 92 of the book of Psalms, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. Do we hear many people today praising the Lord? Do we have many people today that are singing for the Lord? No, they want to sing this rock and roll mess. They want to sing that stuff come from Hollywood. And they say, Well, hallelujah. Praise God. He got up in the drums and got the bass and he's got all that up and he goes, whoo, look at what he's doing. Hallelujah. And you can't hear the words. You can't hear the words because of the drums. You can't hear the words because of the bass guitar. You can't hear the words coming from them. Why? Because they've got the music turned up so light. You know the reason they do that? Is so you can't even think about God. That's the reason they turn the music up like it. So it can get your attention to what is playing. It's not getting your attention to what God is saying. Because see, God comes in a small, still voice, and that's still voice. You'll never hear it over all that racket that's going on. So many churches today has failed so many people. Churches today I have are failing the young people. The young people of today, in the next few years, they don't want to even know anything at all about coming to church and having church and worshiping God. They don't know anything about that. Hey, You take a young person now, and well, not really. You don't have to take a young person either. You can take an elderly person too in some of these churches. And you can go up to them and ask them. It says, could you give me the definition of the word amen? Could you give me the word? Could you give me a definition of it? They said, well, Raymond just says amen. They can't even give you the definition of it. They can't even give you the definition of salvation. They cannot give you the definition of nothing about God. And nothing about what he has done. And nothing about what he has put together here on earth. And I pray today that God would take me out of the pulpit and take me away from his word and carry me on home if I get so complacent by doing some of the things that they are doing, not believing and trusting in him. Did you realize that if you have a Bible at home and you take the church with you and they too, they don't know God. They don't want to know God. You know who they want to know more about? You know who they really want to know more about? Because see, the devil paints everything out here. There's nothing but glamour. Glamour all around us. Wealth. You know, sometimes at night, if I can't go to sleep, I'll have a TV on. And it's a preacher. Well, evangelist or whatever will come on. I don't usually listen to him. Because he is one of these prosperity type preachers that you're supposed to profit. You're supposed to go out here and earn money. You're supposed to go out here and build up your wealth. But I heard a message from him this past week. And I think it's the only message I've ever heard from him that come out of his mouth. But maybe he finally got it. He did use the word salvation. He did use the Holy Spirit. And he did use the name of Jesus. And he did use the name God the Father. That all of that has got to come together for anyone to understand what the Word of God means, for them to get to heaven. We got to get to heaven. We're not going to heaven. We got to get there. How are we going to get there? Am I going to get there by backsliding on Jesus? Am I going to get there by doing this and doing that? No, I'm trying my best to get there by the way of Jesus Christ. No other way. Oh yeah, they got plenty of ways out here today. I know back in the 90s, you had that word, such a word going around talking about easy believism. It's easy to believe in God. Why is it easy to believe in God? Well, they thought it's so easy because God is love. They don't say anything about God's wrath and God's punishing and God's punishment and God's chastisement upon the people. They don't say anything about that. They don't know anything about that. The only thing they know about is love. And they say, well, how many loves is God speaking about? They said there ain't but one type of love. Oh, it is? Well, I don't know. The Bible that I read, it says it's got three different types of love recommended in His Word for us to live by and for us to not use one type of love for the love that we need to use for the Lord Jesus Christ. You got a sexual type love. You've got Euros. I think I got it written there. No, I don't. But I know it's three types of love that's mentioned here in the Bible. But it's not but one main one. And God gives it to us in the Old Testament. And then Jesus Christ and God the Father and the Holy Ghost gives it to us again in the New Testament. And that's where we're supposed to love God, because He's number one. He is number one in my life. And I have to love Him for that. I I don't love God because I love my wife. I love God because of what He done for me. And I don't get it today. People today, they get us so confused and so outraged with it that they think that the only thing that they can do is just come to church and say they went to church. They went to church Sunday morning. They won't say anything about maybe going to a revival or a camp meeting or jubilee. Majority of the people today in these other churches, they don't even know what a jubilee is. They can't even tell you what a camp meeting is. But both of them's in the Bible. The word jubilee means what? 50 years. It's in the Word of God. They ain't read the Word of God. They don't know anything about the Word of God. They don't know anything about God. They don't know anything about Jesus. They don't know anything about the Holy Ghost. They don't even know how they got saved, if he got saved. You know how I got saved? Just as simple as I got saved by this word. By this word. Because in the beginning, there was God, which is also the Word. Chapter 93. I will be probably closing with this one. Psalms chapter 93. It says, "The Lord reigneth. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength. Wherewith he hath girded himself, the world also is established, that it cannot be moved. Thy throne is established of old. Thou art from the everlasting. The floods have lifted up. O Lord, the flood have lifted up thy voice. The flood lift up thy ways. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters. Yea, they the mighty waves of the sea, the testimony are very sure. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever." One more verse. That's the first verse in chapter 94. "O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth." O God, to whom vengeance belongeth. "Show thyself." Show thyself. You know, this day and time we live in, We know that there are families that is created, and they're created the way the devil wanted that family to create. Some of them, they have children after children after children. They're not married to nobody. They just want to go and live with somebody. They want more kids. Why? Because Social Security or the welfare program will give you an extra $400 a month, or maybe $800. Whatever it is, I don't know. But to give you extra, to have a child. But you know where the government's wrong? I mean, I've had some people tell me, say, well, what they need to do is, after the second child, and if that's all they're doing, just second child, and they just getting it for the money, and they can tell my. They say, what they need to do, they need to fix that woman where she can't handle no more. And you know, some of the things that the government allow them to do, and allow people to do. You know what is driving Washington, D.C. now? And they're driving this new socialism. You know who's driving that? The government. Because, say, if the Democrats get in 2020, you're going to have free college for every child. You're not going to have to work, but they're going to give you a paycheck for it. You ain't going to have to do this or that. Why? Because you're living in a socialized community or state or whatever. That's what socialism is all about. That's where Russia came from. And then it was because they forgot about the word socialism because they thought that word was kind of leading up to where maybe the people are kind of socializing a little bit together. So then they come up with the word communism. Now, if I'm still living, if this country ever goes a full-fledged communism, I'm going to pray to God that he will take me away from this country. That he will take me away from this land that I know that was built on nothing but Jesus Christ and him alone by some men that came from England and brought the word of God. Because over in England, they was getting ready to have the same thing. And we are going that way. We're going that way. And it's going to come a time like it did in the day of Russia, by all these other communist countries. That on Sunday morning, you're going to have men, women in here, and it's going to be a different one, or different three or four every week.
Why they gonna be there? They gonna be there to see if I preach the message that I have already should have given them, and I have to go by every word it says. I cannot put nothing else in it. I cannot take nothing away from it. It's coming to that. I hate to say it, but it's coming to that. So if we that are living, if we still want to be able to worship God, if we still want to seek His truth, we're going to have to do it underground. We're going to have to do it in somebody's basement. That's what happened over in Russia. Christians went there, and when they did, which they didn't go over there and broadcast the word Christianity, they didn't go over and broadcast it. They went over there and were seeking after people that was Christian. And says, now, if you want to worship God, the only way that you're going to be able to do it, and I'm going to be able to do it, we're going to have to go on the ground. We're going to have to go to somebody's basement. We're going to have to go to somebody's tongue to worship. And you say, well, what? Well, God is supposed to be for all powerful. God is supposed to be this. God's supposed to be that. Why does He allow them things to happen? Well, why did God allow the devil, Satan, attack Job? Why did he do that? Why did the devil attack Job? Take his whole family except for him and his wife? Took all of his wealth? Took all of his cattle? Took everything away from him. The only thing he had left was him and his wife. Only thing they had left. Why? Because the devil had took everything else. Who gave the devil permission? How come could the devil do it? You know, Job and some people said, Job is a righteous man. Job would never turn his back on God. He's a right. And never turn his back on God. And when the people were saying that, see, God knew that Job was a righteous individual. He knew that Job would not turn his back on him. He knew that. But he said, okay, devil, you can do all that you want to. You can do all of that, but take his life. You cannot take his life. You can take anything else he's got. You can't take his life. And he took everything else he had, except for his life. Now you know, a whole lot of times when we're preaching in the book of Job, we're preaching more about Job and what Job went through. But what about Job's wife? What did she go through? You think she went through some heartaches? Yeah, I do. She went through some heartaches. Why? Because her husband worked. Her husband worked and provided for her and his 7 children. And she's seeing him out there laboring every day from daylight to darkness.
But then he was literally losing it day by day. But the thing about it, did you read the last part of the book of Job? Job was more blessed then than he ever had before. Ever had before. He had more children. He had more land. Had more cattle. And he still had God on his side. I'd rather have God on my side. And I'd rather be hearing that small, still voice that comes from Him than I had all the wealth to city of Danville come up with to where I could prosper a little more. But you know something, if you prosper, if you think you prosper any at all without God, you'll lose it. You're on a losing battle right now. Why? Nobody can prosper at all without God. And I prosper every day and every week. He gives me something new every day. Something new every week. And He has blessed me in the point that I don't know where it's coming from. I really don't, but from Him. Because it ain't nothing that I've done. It's just the way He wants to bless me. It's just the way He wants to bless me. He has blessed me so much. He's blessed me with a fine, outstanding wife that's a Christian that also loves God. He has also blessed our family with a daughter that loves God, that is in church. I love Him so much today that I really don't see how I haven't been loving Him anymore. But I know I'm going to end up coming short today. It's not a day that as that ever went by that I have not come up short. And I have to repent. And I have to ask Him to forgive me for that. As far as I'm concerned right now, I know I'm in the will of God. Because He opened the door here at Faith for More. I'm not Faith for More. I'm Faith Baptist Church. But He led me here. I didn't know what to expect, because I'd been there into revival. But I'm going to tell you, God Almighty knew exactly what I was going to expect. He was going to expect the same thing that He allowed me to
to be a part of. And that to be a part of some people that love church and love to come to church, and they just don't miss church because they've got an earache, or maybe they've got a headache. They just don't miss church because they know if they miss, they're going to miss that blessing that God has already prepared for the saints. And I don't want to miss any of God's blessings. But I'll tell you what. He can really stop blessing me right now. And I can start thanking Him for all the blessings. And I would be thanking Him 24 hours a day, probably for the next 50 or 100 or maybe more years than that. But I know that I'll thank Him until He comes back. And then, after I get to heaven, I'm going to lay the crowns that He gives me down. See, He don't give me the crown down here. And then I got to pick up them crowns. And I got to take them with me. No, He's got all the crowns right there. And each one of them is named. So many other crowns. This is dying here. Take it. And after that, then I'm going to turn to Him. And I'm going to say, Jesus, Christ, you're my all. You're my life itself. I hand these back to you. I don't deserve any of them, but you deserve them all. You deserve them all. I don't deserve all of God's goodness. Do you? Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for today. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this small, still voice. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. I thank you for you, Father, and what you have seen within the people here at Faith Baptist Church. And Father, I still say today that I have not ever changed my mind on what you're going to do. I know you're going to do it. You're going to do it when we least expect it. When it don't even cross our mind. Or something may cross our mind that we say, well, looks like we're just going to have to close the door. Because we don't have enough money to come in to pay the utility bill. And the light bill and the fuel bill. When least expected, God. You know that we will do right. You know that we will do what you've asked us to do. Father, I just want to see people saved. I want to see people get back to
to the Word of God. I want people to get back to where they can look all around them, and with everything that they see, that they can experience your love in their life. Father, we ask now that you go with us this week. Father, if there's someone that you want each one of us, Father, to speak to you, Lord, place them on our mind and at the forefront of our thoughts, that we will pray. We'll pray for them, and we'll pray and ask you to help us to take your word to them, that they may be saved, they may get in the house of God, and they may start worshiping you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.